Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for both the local church and the workplace. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Jonathan, there are times when people come to this podcast and they say, Rainer's talking about something, I think I'm going to turn it off. Or probably won't put it on my headphones. I won't listen to it. It's just Rainer again. There is good news. There is relief.
Yep, it's not just Rainer today.
It's not just Rainer. It's so much better than Rainer. One of my heroes of the faith, one of the guys that I have been listening to preaching for, He shaped my preaching, the good parts of it, not the bad parts of it, for so many years. And I'm talking about Tony Evans. And gosh, there's so much we can say about this guy in terms of his authorship, in terms of his longevity at a church, in terms of his family. What a great, great family he has. And I think, did I count 11 grandchildren or was it?
11
grandchildren. It's just unbelievable. So, Tony, welcome to Lifeway. We are taking full advantage of you. By the time they hear this podcast, he would have been a chapel speaker. He's talking to people throughout Lifeway. But we got him for a little while. So welcome to Lifeway, Tony.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you. We certainly appreciate your friendship, your relationship, your embracing of me, our family, and our ministry. I feel kind of owned right now, but
in the best sense of the word,
yeah, good sense of the word, yeah.
Well, you have an incredible family. I'm going to tell you a story that I will repeat in chapel. So, not that you've ever repeated a story in any of your messages, but here's the story. I was with my mother-in-law, and she thinks I am great. I can do little wrong. And so I usually set her up with softball questions so I can get my ego fulfilled by listening to my mother-in-law. And I was with her this last time and I said, so now that I got this podcast out and you can hear me a lot and you hear me in other situations, who's your favorite preacher that you listen to? Didn't hesitate. Tony Evans. She just said, you were the best. And I said, well, I guess I'm a close second. And she said, I love you, son, but you aren't even close to Tony to Tony Evans.
Oh, do I need to meet this lady?
Yeah. There are many Nell Kings out in the world. Well, there's so many ways we can go. We can talk about serving as pastor. We can talk about this unique chaplainship that you've had in the NBA and NFL. I want to talk a little bit about your family life as well and just all these responsibilities. But let's start off. Majority or at least a good plurality of this audience is pastors. Talk to us about what you have seen change in 40 years of being a pastor.
Well, you know, you bring up the pastorate. I love the church. The ecclesiology is my passion from a theological standpoint, but also from a pragmatic standpoint.
Sure.
What unfortunately we've seen on the negative side is the loss of influence of the church in the culture.
Right.
That's been the burden, the negative burden that I had. At the same time, we've seen a proliferation of churches. So we've got churches everywhere. We've got influence declining. And so we're caught in this vortex of contradiction. Mm. How can you have more of Jesus on more corners with more pastors and less of Jesus in the culture?
That's right.
So we're in this contradiction there. And I think what has happened is that there has been the increase in the secularization of the church, which has led to the loss of impact of the church in spite of the proliferation of churches. And over the last 40 years, I think I've seen that. And so that's kind of a negative in the midst of a positive. And so my passion is seeing the church become more kingdom-minded so that it begins to reflect what Christ had in mind when he established it. You know, one of the things Jesus said was, the way you will know that the church is my church is that the gates of hell is not prevailing against it. So if wherever the gates of hell is winning, then we must not be being his church. We must be our church using his name.
Wow. Wow. So what is an example in the local church where just some small example where churches in general, particularly the Western church, North American, United States church is not as effective, say, as you saw it a few decades ago?
Well, first of all, the very definition of church is a problem because churches, far too many churches, many exceptions to this, obviously, have reduced their definition to a weekly event for spiritual inspiration rather than a comprehensive presence of the rule of God in the area where they've been called to minister. That's why we're so big on tying the church to the definition of the kingdom. When the church is satisfied simply to preach a sermon, have a nice, you know, musical program, and then people disappear to their worlds until they come back next week, rather than creating disciples who are whose job it is, whose mindset it is to reflect the rule of God in their life in every realm of their life, then you have this bifurcation that takes place between what the church does on Sunday and what the people do on Monday that leads to the decline in the culture, because we're not crafting people through the church who are representing God's kingdom in the world in which they live.
That is good. You almost sound like a millennial, one of those young people born between 1980 and 2000, with your heart for being on mission, being missional in the community. I got to ask you this. And again, if I sound like I'm slobbering too much in admiration of you, it's true. It's absolutely true. Successful pastor. Successful speaker. I mean, not just in a secular sense, but I think people look at Tony Evans and they see it in a kingdom sense. Successful author. Wow, some of your books. But what intrigues me most is that you are a dad and a husband and a granddad. And when I look at your family, I say, I want to be like Tony. Talk to me. talk to me about having a family in the church. And we love your family. And whether you think we own them or not, we love them. Tell us about your family.
Well, my wife Lois and I have been married for 43 years. I have to give a lot of credit to my children's engagement in life and ministry to her, because she held the fort up many times when I wasn't there or should have been there. But I guess some of the strong points would be being determined to be God's man in the house. And most of that happened around the table. We make a big deal about the table. The Bible makes a big deal about the table, that your children grow up as olive plants around your table. So we use the table not just for eating, but for ministry. So whether it was devotions, or whether it was blessing the kids, or whether it was holding them accountable for their work responsibilities, or whether it was giving them turns to have devotions, or whether it was having the giving box there where they would have to give 10 cents on whatever on the dollar of allowance that we would give them. So the table was used to bring the family together and keep them together. And even when I wasn't there, that principle continued with Lois. And then being engaged in what was important to them. So whether it was athletics, or whether it was various kinds of events or programs or dramas that they were in, trying to have a high representation there, it was very important to me as well. And then I guess from a pastoral standpoint, not imposing upon them a guideline because they were my children as a pastor, but because they were my children as a dad.
There you go.
Because once you impose the church upon them, then they've got to live up not only to your standard as a parent, but to the standards that everybody else has for them. And so having to protect them from the church's definition of them and keep them as Evans's first, not the pastor's kids first. So wow. Those are some of the...
Wow. I wrote a post at TomRainer.com a few months ago, on PK's Pastor's Kids. And I thought it was just one of those throwaway articles. And I just noted that some of the issues that PKs talk about even after they're adults, and it just went viral. It was amazing to hear the hurt and to hear the struggle that many pastors' kids had gone through, and then to hear you talk about how you held your family together. I think this is going to be one of the things that this audience will hold on to in this podcast.
Well, you know, Nehemiah 4:14 says to fight for your family. And so we need some warriors. We need, especially men, we need men to become warriors. We have too many men walking away from their families, not bunkering down and say, I own this. Because the definition, biblical definition of a man is a male who takes responsibility under God.
There you go.
And so we don't have enough males who take responsibility under God. And therefore, either they're passive males like Adam was in the garden, or they're totally irresponsible males because they're walking away from their responsibility and are not in a context of being held accountable. You know, God told the men in Exodus 34, 23 and 24, if you come under my authority, I'll take care of your family and your nation. So the reason why families are falling apart and our nation's falling apart is we can't get enough men under God. We can't get enough kingdom men. And yeah, so that's there, and praise God for all the women who are holding up the fort in that, with that lack. But the family is critical, because whoever owns the family owns the future. The saga of a nation is the saga of its families writ large. And so
that's a word, that's a phrase I'll use in the future.
Oh, yeah. Right.
tell us where each of your children are now. We know it, okay. Let the world know, okay, through this podcast.
My oldest child is Crystal right now. She's 41 years old, a mother of five. And she's kind of an all-world kind of lady. She does a lot, and she was the co-author of the book Kingdom Woman with me.
Right.
And she also works with our small groups in the church and our women's ministry. Then there is the internationally known Priscilla Shire.
Never heard the name. Never heard the name.
Who's blowing and going. I mean, she's producing like crazy, all these Bible studies and speaking, and a mother of three boys. And then there is my oldest son, Anthony Jr., who's leading worship in churches all around America.
Sometimes with his sister.
Sometimes with his sister. That's right. In Lifeway events.
That's
less.
Right.
And so Anthony is just coming out with his new album now. And then there is Jonathan. Jonathan, he played football for the Titans, but now he's retired from the NFL, and he's worked with me in ministry, and we produced a book together. And now he's speaking around the country and doing a lot of the things with us in the ministry and in our National Church Adopt the School initiative. So we're excited. He took over for me as chaplain for the Cowboys this year.
What an incredible legacy. You mentioned the chaplaincy for the Cowboys, and you also did that for the Mavericks. What has that taught you, dealing with those guys, being around them? How does that help you as a pastor?
Well, first of all, I love sports. Sports was and is my hobby. I mean, you know, especially football. And I was asked by Tom Landry to become the chaplain in his last 5 years of his tenure with the Cowboys. And I've been the only chaplain for the Mavericks and still do that. What they do is they feed me because I love sports, but they are influencers. You know, the world looks up to them for their prowess on the field. Now, off the field, there's a lot to be desired, but on the field, folks look to them. So to be able to influence a player, to be an influencer spiritually and by modeling that, is a great opportunity. In fact, out of that, we're working on some programs for the NFL to become mentors as part of our National Church Adopt a School initiative to mentor kids. And in that mentoring process that we're training, we will train them to do to add to their spiritual development as well. So that's why Jonathan and I wrote the book, Get in the Game. It's a spiritual growth book for athletes. So the whole concept is to use chaplaincy, to work with chaplains, which we do, but to use the chaplaincy to inspire, encourage, and challenge those players to take their platform and maximize it for God. After leading them to Christ, discipling them, maximize the opportunity for influence.
You have 11 grandchildren. What's the story behind the consonants of their names?
Well, you know, everybody wants to rhyme them, and everybody wants to make sure one thing has come. So that Priscilla's everybody, Jerry Jr., Jackson, a Jude, you know, everybody's trying to make them rhyme. And Jonathan and his wife, they name their kids based on the first letters of their names. So they got this rhyme thing. I don't keep up with this. There's too many kids. I can't even remember all their names sometimes. I'm calling them different names. I'm just, hey, you, come over here, whoever you are.
What's the youngest and oldest age?
The oldest is 21.
You're too young.
No,
you're too,
22.
You're
22.
Too young to have a 22-year-old grandchild.
I'm be 65 this year. So,
yeah, that's a young 65.
Thank you. I'll come back. And she's supposed to get married in September. So,
wow.
So, you know, here's what's messing with me. I'll confess to you and your listeners, the thought that in a few years I could be a great-grandfather, I will confess this is messing with me. I'm getting depressed even talking about it right now, to be a great-grandfather. Now, I know it's good if you're alive to see your great-grandchildren, but at the same time, that you're old enough to have them, you know, it's a catch-22. It's a conundrum. But,
65 looking to great-grandchildren will be a young great-granddaddy.
It will be. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Very, very, very young. I'll be 65 in 6.5 years, and my oldest grandchild is 4, and I don't think I'll have a great-grandchild by then. Hope I do not have a great-grandchild by then.
Hope you do. Okay. And then my youngest is Camden. Jonathan's
baby
boy. There's
the J and the K.
That's right. Yeah. And so he's 4 months. So that's where we are.
Wow. Well, where I was last night was at the emergency room, and then to the home of the grandchild. My son called me up and said, Harper, 1-year-old's not doing well. We're going to have to take her to the emergency room. He lives about 45 minutes north of me, so I drove and finally made it to their house, and they went to the emergency room. And so I got in around 2 this morning. It was, you know, that's typical if you have grandchildren in the area.
Well, you got to make sure you're there. And with 11 grandchildren, and I'm sure we're going to probably have a few more, with 11 grandchildren, there's like a party once a month.
There you go.
And they expect everybody to be at this party. And so the good thing, everybody's growing up together because everybody lives in the area. But at the same time, they gotta shut down some of this. But one of the things that we do as a family, we have breakfast together every Sunday between services.
Really?
And we have dinner once a month.
Wow.
Everybody. And then the kids have to say their memory verse at the once a month dinner. And so that's always a fun time, and it's like a competition, you know, about memory verses. We have dinner, and then every parent takes a child, or every adult takes a child and prays over that child at the once a month dinner.
That,
so that's
incredible.
What we do.
Incredible. I don't know if Priscilla is a jokester typically, but she found me in the hallway. I found her, and we kind of ran into each other a few months ago, and she says, come here, I want you to do something. And she dialed Jerry's number, her husband, and he obviously sees caller ID, and he says, hey, baby. And I said, excuse me?
Oh, wow.
And he said, who is this? I said, who is this? He said, who is this? And she is over there dying laughing. I said, this is Tom Rainer. He said, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. I don't know if she's a joke, but she was having a great time pulling
she
that.
She has her moments.
I'm she sure has the her whole moments. Family has their moments.
With the notoriety you've received over the, you know, your lifetime of ministry, how do you think the fame and how you've handled it has played into how your children have handled their notoriety as they've grown? You know, Priscilla and Anthony as well. Just, you know, being internationally known, especially Anthony, he kind of became internationally known overnight because of The Voice. How have you been able to pour into their lives to let them handle that fame in the right way?
Well, we have, the best way I can answer that is we have sought to stay regular. You know, I still live in the same house we've been living in for 35 years, which is 1.5 blocks from a church. We stay together as a family, and that's regular. We stay regular. You know, I'm low maintenance. I don't require a lot. So I teach them not to require a lot, to be humble, to not elevate yourself, but let the Lord do whatever the Lord wants to do. And just keeping that atmosphere. It's more of an atmospheric thing than a program thing. And I think being around each other, prioritizing family, staying tied to the local church, and being as regular as you can, and not develop this celebrity mentality that is so dominant today, I think creating that atmosphere helps to promote that.
Well, Tony, before we sign off on this podcast, we've asked you questions, and some we had prepared to ask, some have been off the cuff. Is there anything that you would like to share with the audience that is a lot of church leaders, a lot of pastors, but also a lot of laypersons as well? Is there anything you'd like to add before we close out?
Well, yeah, well, one of the exciting things we're working on that we've just begun the process on is a national solemn assembly. We're all concerned about the state of our nation. We're watching the implosion of a nation upon itself. And the only hope left for America is the church. Politics can't fix it. Social action in and of itself can't fix it. It's the church. And God is waiting on the church. And I know we say we're waiting on God, but God is waiting on us. So I'm kind of a point person to see if we can pull together a nationwide solemn assembly. Solemn assembly in scripture was a sacred gathering where God's people were called to return to God so that God's manifest presence would return to them and overflow into the nation. We need an overflow of God, but it will not happen independently of him overflowing through the church. So that's what we're going to be working on, and folks will be hearing more about that as it begins to take shape and unfold.
I can think of no better way to end a podcast. And Tony, I know that we are probably going to run you and your team ragged today, and I hope that you will get a little refreshment in the process, but just thanks for being here. It means a lot to us. Thank you for taking time to be on this podcast, and I'll tell my mother-in-law that she's right.
Well, you tell your mother-in-law, I can't wait to meet her.
All right. Mm-hmm.
This week's episode is brought to you by Explore the Bible. In order for the Word to dwell in you, you must know the Word. For every Christian, a deep knowledge of the Word helps make a difference between a shallow faith and a life of trust and obedience. This intimacy with the Word develops as we dedicate our lives to reading and studying it personally, in community with others, and regularly examining how it should impact us every day. For more information on Explore the Bible, visit lifeway.com. That'll do it for this week's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
As you have listened to Tony Evans, I hope you have listened to the balance. I hope you've listened to the priority. I hope you've listened to the humility. Here's a man who's had a lifetime of ministry, and he is doing well, and he will continue to do well. And the lesson that I learned is he's beginning well, he did well, and he'll end well. May that be so for all of us who serve the Lord in whatever capacities we have.
Thanks for joining us this week on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at tomrainer.com.